Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. We are now at the very top of Lamed Dalad Amud Bet in Masachet Sota. In the middle of our discussion of the crossing of the Yarden, there is an extended homiletic interpretation of the story of the scouts occasioned by, and this is the very end of the previous shiur, occasioned by the comparison between the volume of the stones that were lifted up from the Yarden, which was our main topic, along against the cluster of grapes that was brought back by the scouts. And that affords us the opportunity to investigate this story in greater detail. Many of the most famous Agadot related to the scouts and the sin of the scouts comes from here. Shlach lecha anashim. It begins with a quote from the beginning of the parsha. Amar Shlakish, shlach lecha mida'atcha. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you want to send them vakasha? V'chiyadam ze borei chelek rali atzmo? But why would somebody end up choosing why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow Moshe to do something that is going to be bad for him? That's why in the retelling of the story, beginning of Parsha Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it was good in my eyes. Meaning, I thought it was a good idea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not agree. Now, in Dvarim, the way that Moshe retells it is that your parents came to me, essentially, and said, let us send people that will scout out the land, or spy out the land. That's the only place, by the way, where they are, they're referred to as spies. They're not really referred to as spies, but the verb to spy is mentioned. In the entire Parsha Shlach, it's to visit the land, to scout out the land, via tur retarets. This root of Yachpru Lanu Taaretz indicates that from the get-go they only intended to shame the land. Here the word v'chafra, to dig, the sense is that the moon, the day will come when Hashem rules over everything, the moon and the sun will be ashamed. V'chafra halvana, it's like it will dig a hole for itself. All right, so the same idea of shame. Now, Ve'elish Shmotam, at the beginning of Parshat Shlach, lists the names of the scouts, the Mater Ruvein, Nashamor ben Zakur, etc. We have a tradition, Raglim, Al-Shem, Ma'asehem, Nikru. All the names that they were called, which may mean the names that the text gives them, are related to their actions. But we only know one of them. Satur ben Michael. Right, so Satur ben Michael is mentioned at the, towards the end of the list. I believe it's Mate God. And it's the Mate Asher. Satur shesatar ma'asav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is he called Satur? Because he tore up or destroyed God's actions. Michael, which of course is a nice name, they darshan shasat smo mach. He made God weak. Amar b'yochanan, af anu nomar, so we could also darshan nochbi ven vafsi. Right, from Mount Naphtali. Nachbi ben Vafsi, Nachbi, why shechbi dvar v'shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He hid God's words that you're going to conquer the land. Vafsi, why shepisei midotav v'shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He trampled over God's characters, God's traits. Okay, v'yalu v'nega v'yavor Chevron. When it describes the travels of the scouts, it says that they went up directly from Kadesh Barnea, north, through the Negev, and he came, in the singular, to Hebron. Vayavomi Baile, and here we're certainly not going to invoke the homily of Ki'isha Chad Balevachad in unity, because they were not united. It should be they came. Amarava Malamet Shapiresh Kalev, Shapiresh Kalev, Atzat Maraglim, Valachim Shatech al Kivre Avot. The Vayavo here is not them, but rather Kalev. Kalev left the rest of them, and he went to prostrate himself at Marat HaMachpelah and to pray. Amar lan avotai, bakshu alai rachamim, asking the avot to invoke divine mercy, she'en natzel me'atzat meraglim, to save me from being swept up by the bad counsel of the other scouts. Yoshua kvar bikesh Moshe alav rachamim. Yoshua didn't need that because Moshe had already requested rachamim, she'nemar, kvar Moshe lo she'a binun Yehoshua. that in the list of the scouts, it says that the scout of Ephraim was Hoshea, and at the end it says that Moshe called Hoshea Yehoshua. The drasha on that is, why did he call him Yehoshua? Ya Yoshiacha Me'atzat Miraglim. That Hashem should save you from what the rest of them are planning. That raises a lot of questions, and the interested reader is directed to see the Rashbam's commentary on that pasuk, quite enlightening. That's why Hashem says that Kalev, because he had a different spirit and therefore he followed what I said, therefore he will come to the land and he won't die. Meaning because he, without Moshe acting on his behalf, he of his own accord separated from the rest of the Meraglim and he went to Kivrei Avot, etc. Now, in the description of Hebron, it says, V'sham Achiman sheshavit talma yilidei ha'anak. We read them as giants. Achiman, why is he called Achiman? Miyuman shebe'achav. He's the right of the right hand, meaning of the strongest of all the brothers. Sheshai, why? Shemeshima ta'aretz kishachatot. He destroys the world. Or Mesima ta'aretz kishachatot. He basically leaves destruction in his wake. Talmai, Shemeshima ta'aretz talmim talmim. He makes the whole world into furrows, meaning everywhere they go, they destroy things and they leave it desolate. Tavar acher, another one. Achiman bana einat. Sheshai bana alash, Talmai bana talbush. That each one of them built the particular cities. Now, Yilidei ha'anak. Why are they called Yilidei ha'anak? So the simple reading is that they are giants. But what's the drash on it? Shema'anikin chama b'komatan. That ma'anikim here means like an anak, like a choker. Right, that they are so tall that they end up turning the sun into sort of like a jewel around them. Now, Chevron Shava Shanim Minata, the text describes that Chevron was, the way that it says, is was built 7 years before Tzoan. Now, my Nivnata, what does that mean? Ilay Minivnata Mamash, if you think it was really built 7 years before Tzoan. So, Afshar Adam Bonea Bayit Livno Katan Koron Livno Gadol. This goes back to Cham. And the assumption here is that all these cities date back to immediately after the flood. And is it possible that a man would build a city for his younger son before his older son? Dichtiv Necham Kush Mitzrayim Ufutu Chnan. Knan is the youngest of Cham's sons, and Mitzrayim is the second of his sons. So why would he build a city for Knan before Mitzrayim? So why would he build the city of Chevron before so on? There's a lot of strange things in this assumption, the assumption behind this question, but nonetheless, Allah Shaitan Mavuna al Achad Mishiva Betzon. It was seven times built up. Means it was seven times more glorious than so on. And now this tells you how great Eretz Yisrael. There's no worse or less arable land in Eretz Yisrael more than Hebron. Why? The Kavi Bashikhvi, because you see that's where they bury the dead. And there's no more beautiful place in the world than Egypt. The area of Sodom before the destruction was called like the Garden of God, like the land of Egypt. And so on is the most beautiful. Tanis is the most beautiful part of Egypt. So on Sarav in Yeshaya, it says that's where the princes lived. Nonetheless, Hebron is more beautiful and has more peyrot seven times over than so on. So in other words, Hebron is the worst of Eretz Yisrael, so on is the best of the rest of the world, and it's still 1/7 of the beauty of Hebron. Now, Hebron Trashim Havi, is it really true that Hebron is an unarable land? When Avshalom began his rebellion, he started it by lying to his father and saying, I'm going to go down to Hebron and pay my vow that I made to God, that I said, if I ever get back to see you again, I'm going to bring a korban. Why do you go to Hebron? He went to bring lambs from Hebron because the lambs in Hebron are the best, and the reason is because the grazing is so good. So it's not such an unarable area. Tanya Elimi Moav Kvasim Hebron. We have a bright that says the best rams are in Moav, the best lambs are in Hebron. So Mina, and the answer is that proves it. I did the klisha ara, since the land is so weak. Avda Raya Veshaman Kinyana. Rishavin Kinyana. Therefore, it's a good grazing land because you can't do anything else there. The earth, the topsoil, is weak, and it doesn't give out good fruit. So therefore, as good for grazing. All right. Vayashuv mitzur haaretz. Back to the story of the Meraglim. It says they returned from scouting the land. And then it says, Vayachu vayavo. They went and they came. It literally means they went back and came to Moshe, but the way that reading Vayachu is their original journey. Compares their walking to their arrival, meaning they're leaving to their coming back. Ma bi'ah be'itzah ra'ah, just like when they came back, they had a bad counsel and they gave bad report. Af halichah be'itzah ra'ah. This proves that when they left, they also had a bad idea. In other words, they planned to see it that way. It says, we came to the land. But they said, but the nation is very strong. In other words, we came to the land, it's a beautiful land, beautiful fruit, but the nation is strong. Here we go. If you want to lie, you got to start with the truth, basically. Any Lashon Hara that doesn't start with some truth at the beginning, nobody believes it. And it's nobody believes it. Meaning, if you don't start out by saying something that is true and that gains your credibility, then they won't believe you afterwards. Now, after the people gave the report and the people started murmuring, Kalev silenced the people towards Moshe. What does that mean? The simple pshat is that he got up and he said, you guys are wrong, listen to Moshe, we're going to go. But the way that we darsh on Hesitan Midvarim, what is Vayahas? The play on words is Hesitan Midvarim. He fooled them. Patach Yoshua de Kamishtoi. Right, so Yeshua started to speak. That's not in the text. Amrilei, they said, Dein Rosh Ketia Yimalel. This guy who is a Rosh Ketia, because Yeshua, as we see in Divrei Hayamim, didn't have any sons. He said, it's like, yeah, this guy's not worthy to speak. He's not much of a leader, which, of course, gets disproven in the whole of Sefer Yoshua and at the end of Dvarim. But nonetheless, that's the way they said, we're not going to listen to this guy. So Amar imishtaina, I may be multivachas mili. So Kalev said, I could see which way the wind is blowing. If I say something, they're going to find something to say about me. Kalev, they'll make fun of my name, who knows, and they're going to silence me. So Amar lan, so he said, I have to talk in a clever way. He said, v'chuzubo vara salano beram ram, is this the only thing that Moshe did for us? Or did to us? And of course, they thought he meant that he was going to add more accusations against Moshe, so they were willing to listen. Sarvi begnute kamishtoi ishtiku. They were quiet. They wanted to hear more bad things about Moshe. Amarlo, and he said, "Otsianu mitzrayim, karalo tayam, chalenu taman." Im yomar asu sulamot valu lerakel lo nishmalo. If Moshe Rabbeinu, he's done all these things. If he tells us build ladders and climb up to heaven, we won't listen to him. We'll listen to him. Of course, the reference to climbing up to heaven is a comeback on the scouts' report of seeing cities that are built up to heaven. So, Alona Levi Arashnu Ota. So, Kalev continues and says, we're going to go up and we'll conquer it. But the people who were with him said, we can't. Kichazaku mimenu. What does that mean? Hanina literally means they're stronger than us. They really said something much bigger. It's unclear whether or not there's any different vocalization, but it doesn't mean they were just stronger than us. He's stronger than him, meaning God. Even the boss can't control what's happening over there, can't take his own kelim out. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't beat them. That turns their words from fear into real apostasy. And then they said, Eretz Ochel Yoshvahi, it's a land that devours its inhabitants. With them, Indor Ashrava. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Chashavti HaLetova. I wanted to do this for good. Meaning, when they came through the land, they saw people getting buried. I did it for good. V'hem Chashvu L'Ra'ah. But they turned into bad. Ani Chashavti HaLetova. I did it for good. Chalchal Matu, Meit Chashiva Didhu. Well, everywhere they'd go, some important guy was dying. So everybody would be involved in burying and wouldn't ask who these visitors are, and they'd be able to come through without being bothered. And perhaps it means Eov Nachnafshe. Perhaps if we say that Eov lived at that time, that Eov died. Everybody was involved with his eulogy, and they didn't pay attention. Either way, the people saw, according to the Midrash, Eretz Ochel Yoshveha, meaning as with the land is devouring its inhabitants, people are being buried. And so therefore they saw a lot of deaths or a lot of burials or one very large burial. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that to occupy the people and allow the scouts to walk around unfettered. But they took it as a bad thing. And they said, you see, people die here all the time. And then they said, we looked in our eyes to be grasshoppers, and that's what we looked like to them. Said, these guys are liars. I understand saying we look like grasshoppers to ourselves. That makes sense. But how do we know what we look like to them? That's not true. They're bad guys, but this part's not true. When the Avelim of all these dead people would be eating their meals, they would be sitting under these very tall trees. When they saw us, we would climb up and sit in a tree. Shami the Kamri, and we overheard them saying, Kahazinan inchi de damulakamtsi bilani. I see people that look like little grasshoppers in the trees. In other words, we overheard them describing us as grasshoppers. That's the way that the Midrash goes, so that that particular component of the report is not a lie. It's just, of course, way out of proportion. The people, the beginning of Perek Yudalad, the people all wept that night. Rabbi Machi Yochanan, famous Midrash, Oto Hayom, or Tisha B'Av Hayah, several girsaot here. But either way, that was Tisha B'Av at night. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hein Bachu B'Chiyah Shel Chinam. The Gemara and Tanit goes through Hol Cheshbon to make sure that the day they returned from their travels was the 8th of Av, so that night was the 9th of Av. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're crying for naught. Ani Kaval Lachem Lahem B'Chiyah L'Dorot. I'm going to make this night a night for crying for generations, meaning you've cried for naught, I'll give you what to cry for. All right, what happened afterwards? Vayomru Kol Ha'ida. The Kalev and Yoshua now were the potential victims of stoning by the people. They're very angry at them for disagreeing. And then Hashem's glory appeared, and that stopped everybody. But the way that we're reading it is that people got so angry that they threw the stones at Hashem, as it were. The first thing that happened is the 10 guys died in an immediate plague. Shimon Lakish, Shemetu Mitam Shuna, they died a very terrible death. What is that? Rechenim Rapapa, Dar Shrab, Shila, Ishkvar Tamarta, Tamarta Mlamech, and Ishtavev, Lishonam Rafal Al Tiburam. What this means, their tongues became so long, and it went all the way down to their omphalos, to their umbilicus. And worms were coming out of their tongue and going into their umbilicus and coming back, back and forth, and it was to show that there was this terrible lashon hara. He said they died of like the croup. Now, at this point, we finished with the Agadah about Parshat Shlach Lecha, and go back to where we were at the end of the previous podcast, which is with the entry into Eretz Yisrael, crossing the Yarden. We had left off at the point of the Kohanim carrying the Aron. V'kevan she'alah ha'acharon shebi Yisrael min ha'Yarden. Once the last member of Am Yisrael left the Yarden, chazru ma'im l'mkoman, the waters immediately came back to their original position. Shinamar v'hi v'alot ha'kohanim nosei ha'Aron b'rit Adonai nitoch ha'Yarden. As the Kohanim who were carrying the Aron stepped out of the Yarden, nitku kapot raglei ha'kohanim el ha'charavah, the minute their feet left the dry ground, v'yashuv me'arden, and komam, the waters came back, v'yachu kitmol shoshoma kogratav, and just like they had earlier done, they washed on all of their banks. This is springtime when the snowpack was melting. Nimtza Aron v'nos'av v'kohanim mitzad echad, so the way that the Midrash reads it is that the Aron, and those who carried it, and the Kohanim, are on one side, meaning they went back to the east bank, v'yisrael mitzad echad. So what happened? Nasa Aron et Nosa Viavar. So the way the Midrash reads it is the Aron carried its carriers across. Shinema Rahika Shartam Kol Am Lavor Viavar Aron Adonai Vehakonim the Fream. The way it describes it is the Aron and the Kohanim crossed, as if the Aron carried them. Vialdavar Zen and Ashuza. That's why Uzzah, I'll briefly give an introduction to the story of Uzzah, was punished. When David brought the Aron, remember the Aron in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Zion, the Aron is situated in Kiryat Yarim, which is above modern day Abu Ghosh. And it was settled there for 20 years. And throughout Shaul's kingship and the beginning of David's kingship, it was there. After David conquered Yerushalayim, he went to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim and to set it in a place with a tent, and that would be a place of worship. When David went to bring it, there was a big festival, and the family of Avinadav that had been commissioned to watch the Aron, one of their sons, Uzzah, was the one of the people in charge of the Aron was the one who was watching the Aron as it was on the wagon that David put it on. We'll see about that wagon in a minute. And then what happened is the Aron started to fall off because the oxen sort of went in the wrong direction or something, or stepped badly, Shamtu Abakar, and he went to stop it, and he held it, and as he held it, God killed him on the spot. Alright, so that's why Uzzah was punished. Shenemar Revod Goren Kidon. They came to the threshing floor of Kidon. Vayishlach Uzzah Yado L'chozet Aron. And Uzzah put his hand out to grab the Aron. Now, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Midrash is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Uzzah, Nosav Nasa. Uzzah, don't you know that this Aron could carry its own carriers? Atzmolo Kol Shekin, it can't carry itself? You don't know that? What, it doesn't need you. And so what happened is, in the version of this story in Shmuel, we just read as a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. In the version of the story in Shmuel, Chara'af Adonai be'Uzzah. God was angry at Uzzah, ve'akehu sham al hashal. He killed him there, al hashal. What does that mean? Chara'amar al iske shalo. Because of shalu, meaning of forgetfulness. Al iske shalo. They're right, al iske shalo, for shalu in the sense of shogeg. Because he did something b'shogeg, he should have been aware that he didn't need to hold on to it. The other version is that he really was al hashal, that he really was doing something inappropriate and defecating in the presence of the Aron and behaving very inappropriately. Now in Shmuel it says Vayamot Sham im Aron Ha'Elohim, he died there with the Aron, meaning on the spot. The Amar Yochanan, the drush is Uzzah ba'al olam haba, that Uzzah went to olam haba. Why? Shinamar im Aron Ha'Elohim. He was with the Aron, meaning Ma Aron the Olam Kayam, just like the Aron is forever. Af Uzzah Baal Olam Ba. Uzzah lives forever in Olam Haba. Vayichal David al Hashem Paratz Adonai Peretz BeUzzah. Now David's reaction is David is angry that Hashem made this breach about Uzzah, and he called the place Peretz Uzzah. Amar Belazar Shinishtanu Panav Kecharara. So the way the Darshan's Vayichar is, we don't want to have David getting mad at God. So the way the Vayichar, the drush on it, is that his face became white like a cake. Vayichar, charara. So you're going to do that every time it says Vayichar, that somebody got angry or God got angry, that it just means he got upset and blanched but not really angry? Hatam, no, the answer is Hatam k'tiv af, hachalo k'tiv af. Every other place, or most of the places, Vayichar af. That, which means his nostrils flared, which is a way of saying anger. Here it just says Vayichar, so we can darsh then it means something else. Now darsh Ravim, Neman and Ash David. Why was David punished that this tragedy should happen and cloud the celebration of bringing the Aron up? And as you could see, David was very unhappy about it. Because he himself had a light attitude towards the words of Torah. David says, your laws are songs to me. Which, in some other places, by the way, is darshan, is a very positive thing, that you have to learn b'zimra, you have to learn with sing-song. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, divrei Torah shekatuv ben hi atarif einecha bo ve'enenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, divrei Torah, that are very serious. If you look away, then you forget them, you have to be focused on them. HaTakorei otan zimrot, you're calling them songs? Hareini mechshecha v'davar shafidim tonakot shabed rabban yodin oto. I'm going to trip you up in something that even little kids know. Dichtiv, ne'ekad lo natan, kibar al-kodosh aleim, ha-katef yisau. Every little kid who learns part of Sefer Mamidbar knows that Bnei Kahat of the three Levim families got none of the 12 wagons because they carried everything on their shoulders. Right? And you're going to put the Aron on a wagon? Ve'iyuati bagalta. So David, you made a big mistake, something that every little kid knows. That's because you didn't take Torah seriously enough and you should have known. Now this goes a little bit back in Shmuel Aleph when the Aron is being returned to Kiryat Yarim. First it came back to Beit Shemesh. Came to the field of a certain Yehoshua in Beit Shemesh, and everybody was very happy and celebrated, and they had a big party, but a big celebration, but at that point God killed, and the text is very unclear. They looked at the Aron, evidently looked disrespectfully. What does that mean? That what does it mean is while they were harvesting, they were worshiping. In other words, they didn't devote themselves to celebrating the return of the Aron. They continued harvesting in their field, and then they gave it a half attention. Charamar mili nami amur. They also said things about it. Man amrich di imra'at to man ate alach di faisat. They spoke to the Aron and said, "Who angered you? when you got angered and you didn't save us, and who made you happy now? In other words, they dealt with the Aron like the Aron was an independent deity, which of course was the big problem in Shmuel Aleph Dalad, why we lost the Aron, Ayin Shan. Those who are interested are directed to my podcasts, which are available at etshalom.com and also on the OU at the Nach Yomi on Shmuel Aleph Dalad and Shmuel Aleph Zayin. Of course, the text is very strange. It said he killed 70 men, 50,000 men. What does that mean? Rabbi Avraham Elazar Chanamar Shivim Ish Hayu. There were 70 men. But every one of the, each one of the 70 was worth 50,000 men. Tremendous people. They died in this plague in Beit Shemesh. Chanamar Chamishim Elaf Hayu was really 50,000. Each one of them was worth the 70 of the Sanhedrin. That's important, very big tragedy. So now going back to years later when David is bringing the Aron up, the second piece, meaning after the Peretz Uzzah and they put the Aron in Beit Oved Edom HaGiti for several months and it was there and he was blessed, so David went now to bring it to Shalaim. It says, they took six steps and they brought a korban. But in Divrei Hayamim, in the parallel report, it says they brought seven bulls and seven rams, every one of them. So count that up. Every six steps, you're going to bring 14 korbanot. So the way was it seven or was it one? So the way that he reconciles it is, every step they brought an ox and a fatted lamb. I'll call sheshu sheshu psiyot for every six shiva perim shiva elim, seven and seven. That means you have a bama every six steps. They brought korbanot all over the place. What happened to Hamakom HaSheivchar? Amar Chista, I'll call sheshu sheshu psiyot shomri. I'll call shisha sdarim shal sheshu psiyot shiva perim shiva elim. This just minimizes the problem. Of course, there is no problem with bamot at that time, but he's just saying that you've got now a nearly infinite amount of korbanot strewn all over the path. So he minimizes the number by saying every six steps there was two korbanot, one of each, and for every six times six, I mean every 36, every time he did six of those, then they brought seven of each. This, by the way, just parenthetically, substantiates something that I suggested in some of the Shmuel pieces and in the Root podcasts, that the number six was always had a strong association with Beit David, which was why ultimately an ancient universal symbol of six, a star with 6 points, became adopted in the Middle Ages and called by Jews Magen David. In any case, the last thing the Gemara deals with in this context is the conflict between the report in Divrei Hayamim of the return and the report in Shmuel of the return. Remember, Divrei Hayamim is a second Beit HaMikdash, as it were, commentary on Shmuel and Malachim. In Divrei Hayamim, it calls it Goren Kidon Uchtiv Nachon. In Shmuel Bet, it's called Goren Nachon. How do we reconcile them? Originally, it was called Goren Kidon. A Kidon, by the way, is lance. Right? So the Aron originally was a killer. It had just killed in the Plishtim, now it killed in Beit Shemesh, now it was 20 years later, they're bringing it, it killed Uzzah, and Lasof, after it stayed 6 months in Beit Oved Edom HaGiti, and after they did the proper thing and brought the Korbanot, now it was Nachon, now it was the way that it was supposed to be, and with that we conclude our drasha about the return of the Aron. We are going to go back in the next podcast looking more at the crossing of the Yarden and the ascent to Har Gerizim and Har Ebal and the attendant ceremony there, which is how this entire context started of things that are said in Lashon HaKodesh. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.